It's October 30th, 2014, Kartik class. The glorious sevas of Radharani, now from Bilakpur Samanjali. Vande Guru Paradvandvam Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Vande Nityananda Sahoditam Sri Nanda Nandaram Vande Radhika Charanadvayam Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Nija Sarasini Dage Sayam Vilasaniyam Parijana Gana Yukta Kridiyanti Pakaryam Snapayati Nija Dase Radhika Mam Kadanu. Today we start a new verse describing the sevas of Radharani performed by Raghunath Das Goswami and his Siddha Deya as Tulsi Manjari. This is verse 71, Milakku Samanjali, describing the Madhyan Leela. Nana Pushpair Kwanita Madhupair Devi Sambhavita Bhir Malavis Tad Gurushna Vilasat Kamachitra Labis Cha Rajad Dware Sapadi Madan Anandada Abhikya Gehe Malijate Shashi Muki Kada Talpam Makalpayami. Raghunath Das is addressing Radharani. O Shashi Muki means moon faced girl. O Devi, Radhika Devi, when will I make a bed of jasmine flowers for you in the cottage of Madan Anandada Kunj, which has beautiful gates and erotic vermilion pictures hanging in it, hung with garlands made of various flowers, surrounded by bees? So here, Tulsi Manjari is meditating on offering seva, Manjari seva, Sakhi seva, for the pleasure of Radharani, preparing her flower bed, in which she'll enjoy with Krishna when he arrives in Radhakund. This is in the morning. The Manjaris, just like the house servants, they may start their work before the owner of the house arises. They may start sweeping and cleaning, or the wife starts her duties before the husband rises. So before Radharani comes to Radhakund and all the Sakhis come, then the Manjaris, because they're the maid servants, the near assistants, when Radha and Krishna go there, everything has to be ready. They're not going to go there and then make the flower bed and then bring the pet parrot Manjubhashini in his cage and then bring the cooling water to drink and sandalwood and garlands and incense. All the setting and stage and props will already be adjusted. Everything will be there. So that, let's say, advance, I call it the advance team. The pre-arrangements are all done by the Sakhi Manjaris, like Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Labanga Manjari, Kasturi, Manjulali. So here is one of the many services that Raghunath Das is engaging in. And they all have their individual services. Like generally, when it's listed, the list of different sevas of the Sakhi Manjaris, their specific seva that they're most expert in. And Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari, is listed that his, or rather her, service is fanning with chamara. And Rupa Manjari's service is massaging the feet. That's why you offer here prayers here in Vilakku Samanjali. How Rati Manjari is saying, Oh Rupa, when will you give me those feet that you're massaging? And give me an opportunity to massage Swamini's feet just as because at that juncture in the kunja when Radha and Krishna are relaxing, then Tulsi Manjari is massaging Krishna's feet and Rupa, per her nitya seva, is massaging Radharani's feet as they recline on their bed and slip off to a peaceful rest. So this is their specific service, but throughout this book of 104 verses, there's so many other sevas mentioned. So here, Rati Manjari is saying, when will I prepare? Rati and Tulsi Manjari are the same person. Generally, Rati, his name is Tulsi Manjari, and Rati Manjari, and also Banomati, three names for one person. Tulsi Manjari, don't be confused with Brinda Devi. Brinda Devi is Brinda Devi in the spiritual world, and in our world she's called Tulsi Devi, as a, appearing as a beautiful, and her form in this particular expansion of Brinda Devi, she's Tulsi, incomparable in her mercy and her blessings. So this Tulsi Manjari is different than, of course, Brinda Devi. So she's saying, when will I do this? I'm seeing it in my meditation, then I return to my external consciousness, and I'm thinking of when will I leave this material body, and when will that perfection be in my eternal reality, not just a temporary experience of my meditation. Because we meditate on the eternal as part of our practice while we're in this body, then eventually we leave this body and enter the eternal to carry on with that which we to carry on with and engage in that which we meditated upon while embodied as a sadhaka. It says in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, by Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya, he said, whatever we do in our sadhana, that will become our siddhi. So we practice, we have an English phrase, practice makes perfect. So we practice serving, mentally serving, so that someday we can transcendentally serve in our spiritual form. So many ants are coming on these flowers. It's an endless challenge here. Oh Devi, oh Radharani, when will I make a flower bed of beautiful fragrant jasmine flowers for you at Radhakund? In the cottage of Madan Anandada, the grove or kunja which gives joy of Cupid. And so here the question can be asked, there are so many kunjas at Radhakund. The Astasakis each have their own kunja in a clockwise fashion around Radhakund for the service of the divine couple, Yugokishore. And they also, the Astasakas have their eight kunjas around Shamakund, which they've given to the Sakis to oversee and to use for Radha Krishna's seva. So there are 16 different kunjas and they all have different names. So in the northern side, it's described, first we start with the north, Uttar Dig. This is the largest kunj and that belongs to Lalita. And she's the biggest. She's the biggest, so she has the biggest kunj. She's the chief, the Mukhya Gopi, the leader of all the gopis. And she has the biggest, most variegated kunj. And there, it's interesting when you see that, the description in Govinda Lilamrita, and one, so many rooms are there, like 16, 8-petal lotus, or 16-petal lotus surrounding a mandir in the middle. Then that mandir is a golden mandir, very formal and structured. Then the roof, in the roof it's carved of one piece. The roof of that, the dome of that, there's a dome over the, over that temple, Kali Mandir. And from inside, when you look at it, it's one piece of stone carved like a 1,000-petal lotus flower. Very beautiful carving. And this is where Rupa Manjari serves alongside of his Yuteshri Lalita and serves Radha and Krishna here, especially. When and there in Alita's kunj at Radhakund, it's called the Madhyan Yoga Peet. That's where Radha and Krishna, they ascend a golden throne in Alita's kunj in that mandir, lotus mandir, and they're offered puja by the sakis and navasakis also, and the yoga pit meditation. So that is described what it looks like. Now in the evening, yoga pit is in Vrindavan, Yamuna, Pulin, Vamshivat, and Govindastali is the site, exactly site of the yoga pit, which rises like the back, the earth there, the earth of Vrindavan, beginning with the bank of the Yamuna, rises like the back of a turtle. The turtle's shell has like this, and it goes like that, the edge of the turtle's shell. The water turtle doesn't go like a box turtle, it's gradual. So there's a slight hillock there in the Nitya, in the topography of Nitya Lila. The Yamuna is here, and then going up to the higher plateau is the yoga pit, Govinda Stali. That's exactly where Rupa Goswami, or rather Raghunath Bhatta, established the temple of Rupa Goswami's deities, Radha Govinda, the old temple. And then, interesting to note, when you go in that old temple, it was built in, was opened in 1590. That was quite old. When you go in that temple, in the center dome, there's a big dome, and you look there, there's a carved lotus flower, one piece of stone, one huge piece of stone, maybe 35 feet in diameter, huge. And it's upside down, so you see the corolla, the center of the lotus is hanging down, and all the petals and petals and petals. So that's exactly what the dome of the Kali Mandir looks like in Alita's Kunj in Radhakund. So there's where they have the afternoon yoga pit, seva and meditation, dhyana, puja, etc. And then there in that place, Govindastali, in the night, in Nisha Lila. So now in this verse, Das Goswami is mentioning there are many kunjas, like there's the Lita Nandada's Kunj in the north, then going to the northeast is the Kunj of Vishaka, which is called Madan Anandada, and then going to the southeast is Pornendu Kunj of Induleka, then Sukha Pradak Kunj in the southwest of Rangadevi, and Tungavidya Ananda Prada, her Kunj is in the west. So there are at least eight and Sakhi Kunjas and eight more Kunjas. But in this verse, Raghunath Das is only mentioning one. He says, When will I make a flower bed for you in this kunj called Madan Ananda Da? Da means, of course, to give. And Ananda means bliss, joy, ecstasy of Madan, Madan Mohan. Madan means Cupid, erotic love. So that is the kunja of Vishaka Sakhi. And Vishaka Sakhi is the Uteshwari of Tulsi Manjari, Raghunath Das. So therefore, he's not describing that he's making a flower bed in Alita's kunj, because Rupa Manjari would do that, or in some other Sakhi's kunj. But specifically, he's serving in his Uteshwari's kunj and making a flower bed for the enjoyment and happiness and satisfaction of Yugal when they come to Vishaka's kunj. So he specifies that. Now what does that kunj look like? So this kunja that gives joy to Cupid is situated in the northeastern side of Radhakund. Has four gates. There's the kunja. There's four gates, one on each side in each direction. And the gates are made of some bamboo poles, and then there's flowers there. Wonderful flowers are strung on those doors or gates. And in the center of this kunja is studded with jewels, and it's designed like a 16-petaled lotus flower. And the kunja on the floor, I guess that's what it appears to be. And then it describes there are champak trees that have fragrant flowers, blue champak, which I've never seen, white, yellow, red, and green parrots, and pika birds and bees are sweetly resounding there. This kunj is covered over by Madhavi vines that entwine the branches of the champak trees, and it looks like a palace. Those all trees, it seems to be a very natural type of kunja here of Vishaka. when you read Lalita's description, there's a whole mandir there made of gold and many, many rooms and many floors. There's a ground floor, a first floor, a second floor, third floor. It's actually a veranda. It has a canopy, but it's no walls, just pillars holding up the ceiling. And it's very high, and at least in those days. Ground floor, first, second, then the rooftop, you could say. But there's a roof there with no walls. So it's completely four directions open to give a panoramic view of all of Braj and all of Radhakund, the forest, etc. And Radha and Krishna like to go up there and walk around, look at all the beautiful scenery. So that's, Lita has a very elaborate, there's a central mandir, Kali mandir, surrounded by 16 petals, which are 16 rooms, and there's 8 rooms off of each of those 16 rooms. It's a very elaborate arrangement if you read. But in Vishakha's Kunj, it sounds, it's just trees and vines, and that's very simple forest setting. So both are there for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So he mentions in the verse that it has beautiful gates. As it says, Raja Dwarai Sapari Madan. So the doors of the Kunja, they give erotic joy to the divine couple. They're made of flowers, and their flowers are so full of nectar that there's many bees buzzing around humming. And the bees are acting as doorkeepers. It's kind of a play on words, because it's not much of a chokidar, a bumblebee. But the idea is that the sound of buzzing bees and the metaphor of bees, they're associated with Cupid and erotic love, intimate love. So the bees are kind of announcing the idea of what, when you pass through this door, this is what you'll find. It's like an advertisement, the sound. The bees are buzzing at the doorway to create an ambience to excite Radha and Krishna when they come, that, oh, this is a place for our sweet romantic pastimes. So the bees are serving that way. And of course, they're also making sure that no intruders come, because if any outsiders come to the door, like any good chokidar, they will drive them away. Because bees can sing and buzz and collect honey, collect nectar and make honey, but they can also ding. They can also sting. And the bigger the bee, the bigger the sting. So you can imagine if 1,000 bumblebees jumped on your head, it wouldn't be too good. Once we had a yatra with Russian devotees in Barsana, and we took prasada in Radhabagh, which is between Laraliji's mandir and Onchagam on the left, called Radharani's garden. And some Western lady, she's rather healthy, let's say, Western lady, big. And she ate too much prasad or something. And she was walking on one of those footpaths, leaving, and then she tripped. And when she stumbled, she bumped into a tree. She kind of braced, there's a tree on the path. I don't know if anyone was there. She bumped into a tree, and there was a huge honey hive, beehive up in that tree. And when she bumped into the tree, they got alarmed and disturbed. Oh, this lady's attacking our tree. Looks like a big bear. Because that's a symbol for Russia also, a big bear. No? We have peacock, the Russians have this big bear. A national animal is a bear or something. Here it's a bird. So the, or lion or whatever, I don't know. So then they came down to bite her, to defend their territory. So she, of course, they got inside her hair, and she became very frightened, naturally. And started running everywhere. Ah! And meanwhile, all the bees, thousands of bees, you ever could see these bees following her. And wherever she went, the bees would come, and they create a whole riot and panic situation, because everyone, some people were finished, some weren't. And everyone's running this way and that way, and the bees were just breaking off of her and attacking everyone. And so many people got bitten. This is a very unfortunate thing, but what to do? So that's Radharani's wish. And then some even had to go back in the bus. They got so much swollen, they immediately went back in the bus. That was early on. It's one of those amazing yatras. So I was taking prasad. We had some fruit and muli or something, puff rice. I was sitting next to Radharaman Swami, Radha Govinda's brother. Where does Satan? He said, Maharaj, put your chadar over your head, because if they look for your eyes, if you're looking at them, or they try to attack your eyes. But if you cover your head, then they don't know what you are, a bush, a flower, they don't know what you are. So I said, okay. So I covered my head, and he had his head covered with his chadar. And I said, Maharaj, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking my prasad. So I lifted his chadar up, and he was eating underneath the chadar. I said, really, you're pretty relaxed about this whole thing. He said, I'm from the village in Bihar. This happens all the time. Now, bees are always going mad and flying around here and there. I just stay here. And then, so then we were in charge of the yatra. So all these people were getting bitten and stuff. They all came running over to us. Maharaj, Maharaj. And I just lifted up my chadar. I said, get down, put your chadar over your head. Well, what am I supposed to do? It's like each man for himself. So do something. I said, I am. So we stayed under there, and people just heard the screaming, yelling, and I said, Maharaj, how can you eat at a time like this? He said, I'm hungry. And so I lifted up his cheddar and passed him my bananas, because I lost my appetite. It was a very most amusing scene. The whole thing with Maharaj, orange the cheddar, and I said, he said, no, put it down. If they see, I was going like this, like Indian ladies going like the cheddar. I said, Maharaj. He said, no, put it down. So we were all right. Almost everyone got bitten. So these bees, they're there. They're serving the pastimes by their gatekeepers to protect the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And their humming is, they're thirsty humming bees that serve as doorkeepers. And they're humming, the humming and buzzing, and the ringing, it sounds like the ringing of bells during Cupid's battle fought by Yuga Kishore. That's the point. That bumblebees, the Kandarpa, or Kamadev and his wife Rati. Rati is his wife. Rati means attachment. Kam means desire. So these are husband and wife. They go together. They go everywhere together. Where you have desire, you have attachment. Where you have kam, you have Rati. So they have different. He has flower pushpabana. He has flower arrows, and she plays kartals, very high pitched kartals, and music. And he plays the drum, or sometimes veena, or she plays veena. So they also, music represents them also, because music is one of the attributes or the constituents to enhance and increase loving affairs. Fragrances, flower garlands, scents, incense, agarbati, lighting, the lighting, full moon. Of course, we have our electric lighting, soft light, bright light. But the full moon, the position of the moon, the starlight, the moonlight, the lighting, the fragrance, all the different sensual varieties are part of the environment or the udipan or stimulant for romantic feelings. So the bumblebees are associated with Rati, or rather Kamadev or Cupid, god of love, because that sound they make, bzzz, it sounds like the ringing of, it sounds like the high-pitched ringing of Rati's cymbals. And this is the kind of, in the time of intimate activities with Radha and Krishna, then these type of sound maybe arise, like the ringing of, the buzzing of the bees is like the ringing of the bells during the battle. So when Radharani's Kinkini malas, she keeps her waist bells on, or ankle bells, sometimes they're ringing, and the sound of their very high-pitched ringing is like the pitch of the buzzing of the bees. So that's why I said that when they arrive and they hear the buzzing of the bees, that's a precursor, or a precursor, reminder that, oh, get in the mood for love. Just like there's love music, or we call mood music. Have you ever heard such a thing? Mood music. So there's a certain tempo, a certain beat, and musical instruments to create anger or when there's marching of drums, or there's suspense, or a horror movie. When there's a horror movie, the soundtrack doesn't play love songs. They have, you know, heavy drums or violins, and the violins are going at the highest pitch, at the fastest, tall, and people, oh, it creates suspense. So this is all part of the transcendental ambience of the dynamic spiritual world. And here, of course, we're trying our best to have the king, as Prabhupada often would say, here we're trying to have the kingdom of God without God. We want Krishna, me. We want Radha, you, my girlfriend. We want a beautiful country setting. We want all the beautiful best of scents and best of smells and best of flowers and best of ambience. Everything. For what? For me and you and for our enjoyment. So we want to be gods in our own kingdom. But here the Manjaris are creating that wonderful kingdom of love for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So these two services, he's saying that he made a flower bed there, and he's describing some of the beauty of the kunja. And the flower bed is being mentioned. It's a bed of flowers. Even I have that term in Shakespeare, a bed of, they say, life is not a bed of roses. Have you ever heard that term? It's an American phrase. Actually, it's an English phrase. It comes from Shakespeare. Life is not a bed of roses. In other words, roses are very fragrant, soft, appealing to look at, enjoyable to smell. But life is sometimes not that enjoyable and sometimes not that appealing. And what to speak of walking on rose petals is would certainly be a pleasurable sensation for your feet. But life is often not a bed of roses, but a bed of thorns. Like the yogis sleep on a bed of thorns. they perform their tapasya, Kumbh Mela, lying on thorns. And it doesn't hurt them. So there are a lot of thorns on the path of life. And it's a very thorny path rather than a path paved with roses. So the bed of roses is quite a common thing. But to conceive literally of actually a bed is where you sleep or have other activities. So to imagine a bed made of flower petals is a little inconceivable. And we went in somewhere in that direction in the 70s when they tried to be a little more creative with the sleeping arrangements. Ahara Nidra Maitun Vayam. The whole advance of modern civilization is simply to elaborate upon and expand upon it, quote-unquote improve, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But when it's all said and done, you eat, you sleep, you mate, you defend, and you die. And start again. So that's the sum and total of material existence. So then in the 70s, they thought, oh, there's this mattress, that mattress. Let's make a bed out of water. It's called a water bed. Have you heard such a thing? It's kind of a rage back then. I don't know. It probably went out of fashion, I suppose. But and they were trying to do everything they could for sleeping. Expand and improve upon something that a dog can just sit down anywhere and fall asleep. No effort. He just walks around here and there. Oh, I'm tired. Sleeps anywhere at any time. But we're advanced. So now, flower beds. So in the spiritual world, there's flower beds. And even there's sometimes described and different descriptions. I guess there's different manufacturers of flower beds up there in the spiritual world. Some descriptions are there, the bottom on the ground, or sometimes it says there's actually a bed. One description I read in Shastra said there's a formal, like a brass bed with bedposts and canopy, silken canopy with pearls hanging on it. But then on top of that formal bed structure, there was a pile of leaves, 1 foot, and then there'd be a pile of flowers on top, like sub-mattress and box spring and mattress. And then 2 feet of flowers. Then it had a silk sheet put over top of the flowers. And then it had pillows, and the pillows were stuffed with fresh flowers every day. Maybe they have Velcro edges or zippers or whatever. And they stuffed him with new flowers. So, oh, what kind of pillow do we have tonight? Oh, tonight we have a rose petal pillow. Oh, sweet dreams. This is really the origin of sweet dreams. Well, tonight we have Kadamba. What's, usually you ask, what's for dinner? And now you say, oh, what's the pillow? What's the pillow going to be tonight? Oh, tonight it'll be Kadamba flowers. Oh, sounds great. What's your pillow? Mine's roses. Oh, well, that's nice. Let me switch. Mine's Kadamba. So how variegated can it be? It can be unlimitedly variegated. So these are very enticing descriptions. So what is that flower bed like? Tulsi has covered the bed which she has made from the petals of jasmine flowers with a thin sheet so that the petals will not go here and there when Radha and Krishna enjoy there. It is a large single bed with a single pillow also made of fresh flower petals. And usually beds have two pillows. So when Radha, so it's deliberate. Everything is deliberate. There's a thought behind everything. There's no random or spontaneous or lackadaisic or sporadic seva in the spiritual world. Everything is planned and thought. And there's spontaneous service arises. But if something is pre-planned, it's done very nicely with particular intentions and saturated with all kinds of bhavas and things like that. Can you put this out? It's like too much. I can't breathe. It's like a toss-up between flies and mosquitoes and dying of smoke poisoning. Just put it over there by the garden or so, here. It's a good idea, but has to have some refinement there. No, I didn't say that. I said put it over there in the garden, you know, away from her, you know. You know, in the mud there, by the wall kind of thing. That's where they hang out over there. Yeah, that's a little better. Because, you know, like, if you have your choice of death, I mean, you certainly would choose the least, you know, difficult one. At least be able to breathe when you die. So you can say, Hare Krishna, but you can't even breathe, and what to do, you can't even chant. So, the flower bed is described. So now, there's only one pillow there. That's very strange. Usually there's two pillows or even more. And Govinda Lilamrita says there's different bolsters on the bed. There's round pillows. So the pillows look as white as the moon. And there's round ones that look as round as the disk of the full moon. And there's long ones. There's different shaped pillows there. But Rati Tulsi Manjari has made a very unique and special bed in her Yute Shri's Kunja, Madan Ananda Da. One pillow, one for two. Because the idea is explained here, it will be understood that when Yuva Kishore lie down there, the picture of that pastime has appeared in the Mandri's mind beforehand. So she will take Yuva Kishore to that bed. So that, it's interesting because the verse that follows this shows how, why that meditation was there. So even beforehand, he was desiring and thinking, the Mandri is desiring to please Radha and Krishna in a particular way, thinking about it and acting according to that thought and feeling to create an ideal situation for their full satisfaction and divine pleasure. So later, of course, rather than two pillows, which could be the norm even there, Tulsi Manjari put one because she wants and she anticipates that they'll be so much together that there will be no need for two pillows. Because if you're close enough, one pillow will do. But if you go a little distant, then you need your own pillow for your travels to the other side. So this is a little bit of thinking beforehand about the bed. And the door we described a little bit. Now, one mention here, there's a lot of this described in different books about pictures. So the Russian artists will have a lot of engagement up there, or any artist, because they're painting down here, but there'll be lots of paintings up there. And they can continually change the paintings, because any good studio or any good art gallery, they always show newer paintings. So you'll be surprised to know that Radha and Krishna have an art gallery in Radhakund. It's the most famous art gallery in the spiritual world. It's called the Radhakund Art Gallery. You heard about it? It's there now. You go and look at the walls. See the walls? These walls are the walls of... Just imagine these cement walls of plaster, the walls of the kunjas. Of course, they're not showing the type of leelas that are described because they're not for public viewing. But they are giving us some idea that this is Ananga Manjari and this is Julin and this is Radha and Krishna. The beauty, the sweetness, the love, the innocence of it all and the attractiveness of it all, that's there. So this is a clear, obvious stimulant to remember the actual pastimes, which we'll hear about in this verse. He says, I will go there and I will bring you to this kunja and it will have erotic pictures painted in vermilion, which means red, hanging in it. And there'll be various garlands and all these things at the door. So as I mentioned earlier, on the outside wall of some of the kunjas, there are pictures of Krishna killing demons. Putana, Agasura, Trinavarta, Shakatasura. And I've mentioned this before. They're on the outside of the kunja. When Radha and Krishna come, and the gopis come, they walk around the veranda outside the kunja. And that's the outside art gallery. There's an outside art gallery and an inside art gallery. So when they walk, they look, and someone might think, what does killing of Agasura have to do with the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the private Nikunjas, the Keli Nikunjas of Vrindavan? Good question. But they're there, and we'll answer. So they look and they see, oh, there's when you killed Bakka. And then it's showing Krishna, and then it's a Keshi demon and Krishna's and all like that. The whole idea there, as I mentioned, the acharyas say, is to inspire the vira ras. Vira means chivalry, hero, virility. There's a word in English, virility. Virility means manliness or physical manly strength. Virility, virile. It comes from this Sanskrit word, vira. Dhanavir, have you heard this term, dhanavir? That's one of Krishna's qualities. He's heroic in giving charity, dhanavir. That was, Karna was described as dhanavir also. Dhanavir means dhan, wealth, charity, giving money. Vir means powerful, lots of, he would give lots of it, very strong in giving charity. So when they go, we see that, say, oh, our gallant hero, our beloved Krishna, he's so strong. See this demon here, Trinavarta? Now Krishna's a young boy, he's 15 years old. And he's fully robust and so attractive. He's our Nagar. He's our Gokul Nagar. But here, look at this picture. He was only six days old. And this huge witch came that was flying in the sky with all tantric power, Putana. She has more power than demigods. And he just killed her in a second. And here's this Agasura that swallowed the whole of Braj. The snake opened his mouth and swallowed all the coward boys and cows and everything. And Krishna was just a young boy, 3 years old, and they killed this. What, if he was that strong when he was 3, what's he like now? Now he's 15. If he was the world heavyweight champion when he was 3, the world heavyweight champion when he's 3, what's he going to be like when he's 13, 15? He's a superhero, superstar. So and he's my beloved. He's my Prananath. So the gopis become proud, and Krishna is walking with them. Krishna, how did you do that? Ah, it was easy. I just went like that, and wow, you're so strong. So it increases the feelings. That's for general viewing. Sakis, Mandris, Subal can see those pictures. Sridha, Madhumangal, they can see. Because they take part in the Madhurya Leelas of Radha and Krishna to some extent. But then when they go inside the kunj, then Krishna tells Brinda Devi, I think Madhumangal is very hungry and Subal looks very tired. So then they escort them to it. There's a special room in Alita's Kunja for Subal to take rest. And there's a whole huge banana grove, whole huge banana orchard for Kolavecha Sridhara Madhavango to enjoy his bananas to his heart's fill, heart's delight. So he goes there and he eats so many bananas and he comes and falls asleep in his bed in his room in the same kunj where Radharani is with, in the same kunj in another room in Alita Sakhi's kunja where Krishna is. So inside, he's just describing that, I will go there, and inside where only Radha and Krishna go and the mandris go, I will paint in red vermilion, red dye. I will paint so many beautiful paintings of erotic scenes, of love scenes, to enhance and to excite and arouse your desires to enjoy each other romantically. These are very high topics, obviously, but this is the actual, it's a seva. It's all the seva, the mandris, for the pleasure in Radha and Krishna, who are the original Adi Purusha and Adi, you can say, the original enjoyer, predominated and predominator. Enjoyer and enjoyed, Radha and Krishna. So this is the very nice description of what's going on there. It's quite amazing. So now there's some lila here that when this is all being made, this is the pre-arrangements for Radha and Krishna to come to their kunja, Madan Anandada. And Krishna is already sitting there. Shyama is sitting in this Madan Anandada kunj, waiting for Swamini Radha to come. And his eagerness, sometimes he comes outside and Krishna looks here and there over the pathways. Where is Radharani? Is she coming? When is she coming? And when he hears some dry leaves fall from the trees, they kind of make a crackling sound or whatever when they hit the ground, he runs out. Oh, he thinks it's maybe Radharani's beloved. Maybe it's her ankle bells, or because he hears some faint sound. It's very quiet, and all of a sudden, oh, what's that? Is she come? Has she come? And he runs outside, and he becomes startled because he thinks it's Radha. Suddenly, when Radharani actually enters Radha Kund, it's like a train coming down the tracks in the middle of the night, the huge headlight on the front. And if you're in a field somewhere near a railroad tracks, it's all dark, maybe Amavasya time, and then a train comes and this huge light lights up everything on either side of the track, lights up the whole area. So suddenly on the bank of Radhakund became illuminated by a brilliant golden splendor. It's like the sun was rising, or it was already afternoon, but it was so, became so brilliant. What's happening? So Kshyam came out of the kunj, and he was so eager because he is not seeing Radharani yet, but in the distance he sees her golden effulgent form, approaching which he has never seen before. And so he's thinking, who is this? Is this the family deity of radiance and effulgence? Is this the goddess of youthful beauty coming to me? It's interesting, when someone approaches God, they have to go through the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence surrounding the Lord, and you have to pass beyond that and not be bewildered by that or enamored by that. Go beyond all these planets and go beyond the effulgence of the Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, and all the mystic powers and pleasures therein, and bliss eternal, and go on to Vaikuntha, and go on and on and on to Goloka. So here Krishna, before he actually meets Radharani, then her effulgence, first he experiences her effulgence, her jyoti, Radha jyoti, lights up the whole of Radhakund. I'm here with Radhakund. So he comes out of the kunj with great eagerness, and he sees Radharani coming. So now he's very eager. That's describing Krishna's eagerness, why he's waiting for Radha. So what is Radharani's eagerness? She's also very amazed when she sees the sweet form of Shyam. And she's confused. Is this Krishna who I've come to meet, or is this someone else? I'm not sure if this is Krishna or not. I think this is the personification of Cupid, love personified. It's more than just my Shyam. And then she says, no, that can't be, because Kamadev is Ananga. Ananga means he has no body, so he can't be seen. Kamadev, or the god of lust, he can certainly be felt. As everyone knows, the feeling of the force of Kamadev or lust, but he can't be seen. Who's pushing me? Who's pushing my mind? Who's pushing my heart? Who's agitating my mind? Who's doing that? Where are you? You can't see him, but you certainly can feel him, especially when you're young. So this is, she said, oh no, but I'm seeing someone with a body, but so beautiful, so attractive. I can't imagine. Is this a nectar ocean? Is this a rasa nidhi? A nectar ocean of spiritual flavor? No, because an ocean is limitless. It goes on in infinite directions, the ocean. You can't see the end of the ocean. Your eyes only see 10 kilometers on a clear day, and the ocean goes on for hundreds of kilometers. But I can see this person as a form. I can see the right and left of this form. So it's not the ocean of rus. Is this a blossoming tree from heaven? Is this a parijat tree from heaven? No, because a tree doesn't walk. The tree is walking closer to me. Then maybe it's my beloved, whom I'm desiring to meet for so long. Oh, could I be so fortunate? So then when they meet, then this Radharani's eagerness, she's so totally bewildered. So now when they meet, then this they meet and of course embrace. Then Tulsi Mundri brings them into the kunj, which she arranged, and seats them on a jeweled throne. Then later, that's the throne, and there's some puja there, worship, and then they later go to their flower bed. So there's one point that's made here, how every aspect, we can think about this in our own life also, every aspect of Braj actually exists to serve Radha and Krishna. I remember once I was walking in Parikrama, Radha Damodar, and there was one devotee with me, one sannyasi, guru, by, and we were walking with a few of his followers. It was nighttime, about 9 o'clock at night, or almost 8:39, Radha Damodar. And as usual in those days, all the lights went out, and it was dark. There were stars in the sky, and just stars, very clear sky. It was maybe Kartik time or winter, I can't say. And sannyasi stopped and looked in the sky and said, look, see those stars? Those are spiritual stars. Those are transcendental stars. See all you can see them from the horizon. They begin here, very low, you can see the stars, and they go all the way like a canopy. So this is the spiritual sky. This is Vrindavan. All these stars are transcendental. Everybody was like, wow. At the time and place and everything together, maybe the person was seeing the spiritual sky. What can I say? I can't judge. But the whole idea was that it was a glorification of Braj. That the stars in Vrindavan are not ordinary stars. The moon in Vrindavan is not ordinary moon. The trees are not ordinary. Because in Germany and America they have trees, but they're not the Panch Pandavas. But here, Radhakund, the Panch Pandavas, Yudhisthira became a tree in Radhakund, and Bhima and Arjun. And who knows, so many other personalities appear as birds and trees and whatnot. They're special. So the point's made that everything exists in Braj. Everything exists here, except us. But everything in the environment that is existing here is here in Braj for the service of Radha and Krishna, to serve their pastimes. For example, in this Braj, when they come to Radhakund, ordinarily there's one season. If they come in the summer, it's summer season. But when you go into Lalita Sakhi's Kunj, there's all six seasons are there. Winter, spring, summer, fall, early winter, dewy season like this. So they're all there in Sharad season. And whatever season they want to, whatever Ritu, Mosam, Ritu, whatever season the divine couple want to experience, I want to be summer. So then it's summer. Just like people in Russia, it's very, very cold and snow everywhere. Then they say, I wish it was summer. The summer is nice. And then all of a sudden it becomes summer. It'd be nice. Or it's too hot in Vrindavan in May and June. Oh, I wish it was the winter, then it becomes winter. So this, but here, everything, as it says, your wish is my command. Your will, thy shall be done. So whatever the will of the Lord, his Ichha Shakti, Krishna's Ichha Shakti, his Leela Shakti, and his Prema Shakti, they combine together under the auspices of Yoga Maya to make Krishna's pastimes flow and move in Vrindavan. So that whatever season, all the seasons are standing by, ready to serve at any time. The time factor, the sky, the wind, the sun, and the moon all stand by to serve the Leela. There is no dead matter in Braj. Everything existing in Braj is for serving the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Like at the time of Krishna's birth, Krishna was born on Ashtami. Ashtami, the moon is very small. It gives off very less light. There's very little visibility to move down the footpaths or to move in the forest during the Ashtami night, especially at midnight. But on that particular night, because Krishna appeared in Chandravamsh, in the dynasty of Chandradev, the moon god, he was happy. He was very happy. Just like a grandfather, if a son appears in his dynasty, one of his sons has a son, and he has a grandson, he'll be very, very happy. And in that happy mood, he'll give so much charity and gold and whatever he can give to everyone and anyone, because he's happy over having another son in their dynasty. So Chandradev, imagining Bhagavan Krishna appeared in his dynasty, he's so honored and he's so elated and so happy, because he was thinking, oh, last Yuga, Bhagavan came as Ramchandra. But he appeared in the Suryavamsh, Surya dynasty, and Surya became so famous. He became so famous because Ramchandra appeared in his dynasty. But I'm not so fortunate. I'm the moon. I'm the lord of the night. And the sun is the lord of the day. Why I don't get equal opportunity? So he was somewhat lamenting, because for so many ages and for so many thousands and millions of years, the sun god was being glorified. Suryavamsh, Raghuvamsh, Suryavamsh, Ramchandra Bhagavan, Ki, Jai, and everyone's glorifying the Suryavamsh. And then, one night, in Bajramas, Krishna appeared to make Chandradev happy. Okay, all right, I'll appear in your dynasty. Last time I was Ram, I went there. Okay, don't cry, be happy. And then Krishna came in Chandravamsh. So although the moon is very small, when Krishna came, he became very happy, and he donated his full wealth in his treasury. So what's the greatest wealth of Chandradev in his treasury? Is his Purnima, Purnamasi, full moon, huge full moon, so big. And the moon has different sizes and different seasons. If you live in Vrindavan, you can see, I don't know about Vrindavan, but at least out here, you can see the moon. It is actually different sizes because of the angle. You know, the scientists will explain it, the angle and the refractory factors of light and just that. But with these same eyes, watching the same moon, which appears 12 times a year, 12 full moons, and if you measure them with your eyes ruler, one moon is this big when it's full, completely full. Another moon is a little bigger. The actual, they're different sizes. It's perceivable and it's written about also. So the fullest full moon is when? Sharad Purnima. That's when the moon is at its fullest. And that's when Krishna had the Rasa dance, Maharasa dance. So another example of the Vrindavan, all the Vrindavan arranging for the pastimes and happiness of Krishna is the Rasa dance itself. And that's cited here, that when They're very nice. I never, it's not in the Bhagavatam commentaries I've seen, but it's very beautiful. On that night in Shard Purnima, the full moon's rising. And on Purnima in Braj, the moon rises, becomes visible about 7:30 in the evening. You first see it at different times. Sometimes it rises in the afternoon. You don't see it till it's setting in at midnight or something. But that time it's rising. And so Krishna was in his house at 7:30. From 6:30 to 8:30 is Shayan Lila. 8:30 to 10:30 is Pradosh Lila. And so Krishna's in his room. He's just finished his meal. And it's described here, he went to the Chandra Shalika. There's a small room on the rooftop of Nanda Maharaj's palace called the Chandra Shalika. Shala means room, like Goshala. Shala means little house, little room. Goshala, like that, Bhojan Shala, whatever. So he went there, it's a little room, it's described as a turret. It's kind of a round room. It's a lookout tower. It's a little room way up there, and then from there you can see any enemies coming, or what's some tornado coming, or is Radharani coming, or is Krishna coming? Is Krishna coming back with the cows? So Radharani has one in her palace, Krishna has one in his palace. So sometimes Radharani goes up on her Chandra Shalika. Are, Didi, Didi chup karo. Ma, Radharani chup. Abhi Pravachan. Anyway, Braj, I better be careful, she'll give me some gully language. So Radharani has her room on top of Barsana, Chandrashalika, and so does Krishna. So sometimes I go up there and look. When you go to Barsana or Nandagram on a clear day, you can see Barsana, you must have seen. When you go to Barsana and you look, you can see Nandagram from all those different platforms and verandas in the palace even today. What to speak if you go on top of that palace, on top, and there you can see so nicely. So the parents, they're not so adventuresome. Mothers and fathers, they're not going to climb a bunch of stairs and go to the top floor, then climb another stairs and go to the out to the roof, then cross the roof, then go to the center of the roof, then climb the stairs and go up to that. That's almost like a secret clubhouse, a secret lookout tower only for Krishna. And sometimes the house servants will go there to... can you tell Haridas? I mean, give me a break, you know. It's like... whatever, just... you know. Shri Vrindavinda Vishaya Chariya Kave Shudha Have Man Kave Hamaherubho Shri Vrindavinda. It's Brijvasis. Krishna likes their gossip and whatever they're saying, Krishna likes it. Chokidar yells louder than Jesus. Anyway, they're looking at each other. So when Krishna went up to the Chandrashalika, and when he opened the doors, because it has windows, but there's doors there also, so it doesn't get rain on. So when he opened the doors, the full moon was shining right on his face. Ah. And he saw it shining. And when he saw the full moon, because there's small windows, so when the full moon was shining through the windows of the Chandrashalika, through the window, the whole window was taken up by the orb of the moon. And it's glowing and it's slightly reddish. Sometimes, you must have seen, the moon is so reddish when it rises here in Braj. Have you seen? It's like from that ashram, if you see. And coming over these fields, exactly right here, and it's so orangey red. So then that's the moon is serving Krishna, because as soon as he sees the face of the moon tinged slightly with red, looks like the kunkum face on kunkum, highlighting the beauty of Goddess Lakshmi's face. So as soon as Krishna sees that shining full moon, then he remembers Radharani, Chandramukhi Radha. And as soon as he remembers Radha, then he says, oh, where is Radha? I want to meet Radha. I can't wait. Now after this, I have to go downstairs, I have to go to the Royal Theater, and I have to watch the jugglers and listen to the poets and historians. And then they'll tell jokes and riddles, and I have to sit there with my father and uncles. Then I have to pretend I'm going to sleep and go to bed and take my hot milk. And then I sneak out of my room, Ratri Leela, to go meet Radha. So many hours I have to wait. So this is the full moon as an example of the full moon serving. And also it says that when Krishna was dancing with the gopis were praying. They had a sankalpa. Let this night last forever. Let this night never end. Let this dance never end. Let us spin and whirl and spin and whirl for time eternal. I'm with Shyam and Shyam's with me. And I've forgotten the world and he's forgotten the world. He is my world and I am his world. And our world is full of dance, love, merriment, joy forever. So that was her sankalpa. Then Krishna said, Tatastu, Tatastu, Bhavatu, Bhavatu, let it be. And then that was communicated to Chandradev. And he just stayed there in the sky, shining like a beautiful spotlight over a stage, the Ras Mandala. And then Brahma, that message was communicated to Brahma. And Brahma says, oh, my master wants to dance. He's Nataraj. He's the king of all dancers. He wants to dance and dance. So then Brahma extended that night. He just turned back the hands of everybody's watches. And that night went on for a day of Brahma, so millions and millions of years. And they dance and dance and dance. That's the dance of eternity. That's the rasa dance. So this is an example of how the seasons are serving the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So the I just took some notes here about how the sevas are so variegated. One point we can derive here is that some points that how expert they are. And I mentioned they have their particular sevas, but they can do so many things. They're really, we have some phrase, multitasker. Tasker? What do they call it? Multitasker. They can do many things. So what does speak of the mandris and Sakhi maidservants of Radharani? They can paint, they can sing, they can tell riddles and jokes, and they can design, everything they can do, make outfits and design flower garlands. They know 64 arts. If you look in the Brahma Samhita of BBT, one purport, it lists the 64 arts. And I've replicated that in my Gayatri Mahima Madhuri book, the 64 kalas, the 64 arts. And all of those kalas or arts are known by the sakis. How to tell what someone's holding behind their back. What am I hiding behind my back? And you can tell. And how to dye gems and how to dye cloth and how to tell a fake gem from a real gem. All these amazing arts. You know, how to make music with your hands, how to make music with pots filled with different levels of water. And have different pots, like they're all maybe half-liter pots. Some have almost full, some hardly have any water. Ding ding boom boom ding dong ding 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 boom. Something like a xylophone. I think it's a xylophone. Xylophone is this modern musical instrument. It sits on a table with little metal things like this, and you hit it with a stick, dun, dun, dun. It's called xylophone. Little metal things that are tuned to different notes, A, B, C, like this. And you hit it. It's like a table. Ding, ding, ding. So they had all these arts. So this shows how she's making this, painting these vermilion pictures of erotic pastimes for the pleasure. Decorating a flower bed, making flower pillows. So I collected some of the specific services that the Sakis do. As I mentioned, Rati Mandri, who's described here, Tulsi Mandri, her specific service is a chamar. But here she's doing so many things. And Chitra Sakhi, she dresses Radharani, and you read about that. But her expertise is making, preparing flower garlands and cloves, this lavang. Induleka, she's expert in preparing nectarine foods and dancing. And Champak Lata, she does chamara fan, and she makes jeweled necklaces and offers them. And Tungavidya, she sings and dances and plays musical instruments, and she knows so many things, many, many sevas. Rangadevi, she's expert in sandalwood paste. Imagine, that's your whole job, just grinding sandalwood paste and putting it on and designs on the face or covering the arms and chest, whatever. That's Rangadevi. And then her twin sister, Sudevi, she's expert in serving water. Jal Seva. Rupa Mandri massages Radha and Krishna's feet. And Labanga Mandri making ornaments. Rasa Mandri and clothing. Guna Mandri making beds. Manjulali is a messenger. And Vilas Mandri serves water. And Kasturi Mandri makes sandalwood paste. So many sevas of the Sakis and Mandris, the principal seva they do is the same. Sometimes people say, oh, my guru gave me this name of my Mandri name, but somebody else has the same name. You meet another disciple or god sister or god brother. Hey, you have the same name I do. Or you have the same seva. What goes on here? So there's hundreds of guna mandris, and there's so many different names, but they all have their individual arrangement to serve Radha and Krishna with the Asa Sakhis. We explained that before. There's infinite forms of Radha and Krishna, infinite Sakhis and Mandris, and every group of devotees and their spiritual forms with their guru and his spiritual form and Param Guru, they will have their own personal access to Radha and Krishna. And those other guna mandris will be, if they're your god sisters, they'll be in that same samaj, that same group. But everyone will understand who's who. Even nowadays, even in Lord Chaitanya's time, there was Haridas 1 and Haridas 2. One was called Chota, one was called Baro. And Baro Haridas, they used to say, oh, I saw Haridas. Which Haridas? Oh, Baro or Chota? So to differentiate, they had the same name. Baro Haridas was Haridas Thakur. Chota Haridas was the singer. He was a famous bhajan singer. Chota and Baro. Baro and Chota. So this expertise of seva and so much variety she's doing. And then also how Brajadam is so much anukulya for seva in Krishna's Leela and also for the sadhaka. To live here and think how the wind is. When we're here, when we see the moon, we're living here as sadhakas and we see the full moon rising. And as Krishna thinks, we should think, oh, the full moon. This is like Krishna saw this full moon. This full moon in Vrindavan and Sharad season. Krishna saw this and he remembered Radharani. And it's so glowing like this. And how did Krishna feel when he saw the moon and how it looks like Radharani? And then the wind, when the wind blows, everything we should try to connect to the Leela, because everything exists here eternally for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. It's called Leela Bhumi. And the people only came here to serve Radha and Krishna. Retired men and women, or sadhus and vairagis, they came to Brajadam for the purpose of serving Radha and Krishna, and getting encouraged by the Dhamma Vrindavan, the Chintamani Dham, to do their smarana and do their internal seva, to make progress on the path of pure bhakti. It wasn't a place for land development and profit scheming and restaurants. And it's become quite different. The motivation and the utilization, the motivation behind moving here or settling here, and utilization of Vrajadhamma is far beyond the original scope or intention. This is Kali Yuga. Everything is exploited for the wrong purpose. If people want to meditate and they're jnanis and they're into Advaitin philosophy, they go to Benares. That is their place. If people are into yoga and dhyan, they go to Haridwar, Rishikesh. These are the known places for those pursuits. But those who are in the bhakti, Radha Krishna bhakti, Brajadam is Anukulya, most favorable place. This Krishna walked on this very land. Krishna held this very mountain with his finger. Krishna walked on this mountain. Here's Krishna's footprints. There's Radharani's footprints in Sakhistali and Varsana. Their footprints are all over Brajadam. Radha and Krishna and the coward boys. And their sari, Radharani's sari, melted into the rock here and left a pattern on the rock. And it's very easy to remember Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, no doubt about that. So it's a fact, everything is, when Radha and Krishna are here, everything's in Vrindavan, serving their leelas, enhancing and expanding their leelas in Prakat Leela, and even in Aprakat Leela, for the sadhakas, everything is here, also for Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and to enable us and to help us to enter into those pastimes. We go to the Yamuna, it's rainy season, and we see some gwals coming in a boat across the Yamuna. And outside the boat in the Yamuna are 300 or 400 cows swimming across the Yamuna in the rainy season. And the Yamuna starts at Sringarbhat, covering the Parikamarg, and goes all the way across, way over a kilometer or so, I've seen. And the cows are swimming across, with their heads like this. So then one immediately says, oh wow, was it like this when Krishna came from Gokul and he crossed the Yamuna with all the cows and the bulls had their heads up, and when the waves from the other bulls would hit their humps on their back, they would say, hey, what is this? And they would snort, don't touch my back. And it was just a wave from another bull who was swimming. They have these big humps, and then that wave would hit his hump and move it. And he would get angry, hey, because they're so proud, and bulls. And he'd go, hum, while he was swimming, as if to say, hey, don't touch me, I'm a bull. This is all described in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, the cross Krishna's movement from Gokul to Vrindavan. And so you see that, you're sitting there chanting and you just get lost in the whole pastime, and they were swimming. You see some calves, and the calves are in the boat. In those days, the coward men put the calves on their back and they swam across, and they had them in the boat. Very beautiful. So many scenes, just one scene, there's thousands, hundreds of scenes everywhere to open the doors to Nitya Leela and open the doors to Krishna's pastimes. Everywhere there's a door. In Vrindavan, everywhere there's a door. And it's a door to Krishna's Leela. You have to open it and enter. So you won't find these doors to Krishna's Leelas outside of Vrindavan. In every direction, in Varsana, Nandagram, every Leela Stali, everywhere there's a door. And a door entering the Leela. And by the strength of our bhava and our surrender and our desire and our visualization and our hankering, the door opens and we see a glimpse. Oh, oh excuse me, close the door. Everybody comes to Vrindavan and makes doors. So many doors are here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. House full of doors. But the doors are already here. We just have to sit here and do bhajan and open the doors. We don't have to build houses with doors. The doors are already there. So that's the discussion of verse 71. Tomorrow, by the mercy of Raghunath Das, we'll discuss verse 72. We love Krishna Manjali.